We'll call the meeting of the Improvements Committee, June 3rd, 2025, to order. Any comments from the public? No line? Okay.
No comments.
Improvement staff report, item 3.
All right, so we can kind of jump right into the WSC Water Vision scope is kind of the first topic on here. With conversations with the board and also hearing the community's concerns, staff has been advised by the board to kind of move and separate these items and split them up really into 3 items. So what's being proposed by WSC is a time and maintenance contract that would probably be not to exceed $100,000. And we haven't quite got to the final dollar amount. They have a person that's in charge of our presentation or our reports that's on vacation. And what that would cover would be getting the IWMP concluded and wrapped up. And then we would separate off and concurrently run at the same exact time a well feasibility study. And those items would go at the same exact time to kind of determine locations where it might be feasible for the district to do well, test well sites if possible. This study should give us some areas that would help us hone in where we should be looking for water, in other words. And those would run concurrently. Following that, then we could engage them to finish up and do basically the water vision. And that vision would come a little bit later, and so those items would be split out. I believe the cost of the feasibility study was somewhere in the $40,000 range. They're hoping to run those at the same exact time with my help on the IWMP process. And that's kind of their proposal currently. We should start to see something here within the next week. One of their staff members had a 2-week vacation, and so that's kind of why we don't have anything in writing from them currently. But that's where we are with that, okay, with the WSC vision and scope.
So are they going to come back next month and formally present this? Is that the plan?
Yeah, that would be the plan.
Okay. All right. Keep going.
All right. The unanswered
C&D, are you?
Yeah. Yep. The unanswered IWMP questions. So we've been having the work group meeting. We are, I think, in essence, very close to being wrapped up. We could probably label it at about 90% to 95%. We're hoping to have a meeting at the end of the month to put down in writing kind of the findings that to answer some of those unanswered questions and also kind of a path forward with how we see wrapping up the IWMP with WSC. The people who are on the group, the working group, they're preparing the written document, which I think is somewhat important that it comes from the community itself. Reason being is it kind of answers the concerns of the community more so than just the district answering the questions. But it was, you know, a group effort on that. And so that would be a path forward for WSC and what we're looking to find. And I don't necessarily want to go super in-depth unless the board has questions about what those findings are and that path forward.
Well, I think when we finish that report, next month we'll bring it back here and we'll go from there.
Correct.
And it'll kind of run parallel to what WSC is going to propose or whatever.
Right. And they've been a little bit informed on, you know, the areas that we've highlighted and what the path forward kind of is right now. But it's not complete, and so we're still waiting to wrap that completely up. But they do have some of those items, and some of it will be done by internal staff, and some of it is just recommendations to what we'd like to see in the report and some of the changes that we wanted to be made.
Okay.
So we can carry forward, and I'll kind of turn this one over to Andy if he's ready. This is the camera for the water tank sites. We had some vandalism, so...
Right.
Here, I'm going to share this with you, Andy, so that you can see what's on the screen.
Okay, and I've got some print screens, too. And I, of course, President Booth, before he left, asked me to task me with this in terms of getting some security cameras on relevant sites that don't currently have them, including things like water hatches, hatches for the water tanks. So this information literally just landed in my lap this morning. So this is just a relay of information that was provided by this vendor. We've not scrutinized it at this point to see what we want to do and what's cost effective and things like that. But this is using the existing vendor that we Watchdog Security, which is the current vendor we use. These cameras would, of course, integrate with our existing software. So this kind of represents the best, the most obvious path forward. It's just a matter of if it's cost effective to our way
and
of thinking.
And so what site is this?
So this is the water tank.
Ruyoso.
That's Ruyoso?
Yeah, that's Ruyoso. Yeah.
Okay.
How many total sites are we talking about?
I would say three max. So if we're talking just water, it'd be three max because you have two tanks, and then you have the water plant itself. And I'm not sure how many cameras are at each site, but we would look at this basically to see what we have currently and then see what we would need to have basically full angles and also alarming that way they could view. I think there may be some already at the water plant.
There are. My next question was going to be, do we have any idea of what those cameras produce? I mean, in other words, I'm making this up, if there's four of them, what do they show us?
I mean, I'm not sure currently.
They're going to detect motion, and if we have somebody walking, they're going to capture footage of that person.
Okay, but I meant more in terms of blind spots or...
Well, like,
percentage of coverage.
Like in the case of Ruyoso, I'm still learning all my water terms. It's three cameras on that location. It's all mounted. It wasn't possible to actually put something up on the top of the tower itself, but it can be captured from the bottom along with the walkway. So it gets the full perimeter. It basically gets the full perimeter of the fence property around the tower.
Okay. Well, when you bring this back, I'm more interested in what exists at the water plant and what it covers and what it doesn't.
Yeah, what we can try to do is generate some images from what we currently have, and that way we can take a look at it and see.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that as far as we can go with that at this point?
Yes, currently we're still kind of in the background, like study phase, to see what we need. Part of the money that was in capital improvements is a communication upgrade to all of our remote sites for water. That would include basically, I'm not abreast with what we do have, but it is required to have hatch intrusion. So if anybody opens a hatch, that's the largest risk at those sites. Those should be tied directly into a communication system that would trigger an alarm that would automatically call staff. Other than that, usually you'd have your pump room as well. But if somebody were to get in and damage a pump and make it non-operational, let's say, that would automatically trigger an alarm to staff as well. And so those are the two biggest risk items, really, at water plant sites. Usually the cameras are there for deterrence and to be able to also pick up things prior to those. But our hatches are blocked and locked. To get up on top of the tank would be extremely difficult, if not impossible. So the water is currently safe. We just want to make sure that we're safeguarding it as best that we can and meeting, you know, current industry standards. So we need a little more time. But those items should be more moving forward in the next CIP budget cycle, so starting in July.
Okay. Randy, anything?
All right. The final item was, Randy, you asked us to kind of give a cost breakdown of an EV versus an electric vehicle, versus a gas vehicle. So the difference in cost typically between them, brand new, is usually anywhere between $10,000 and $20,000. And so SMUD has a wonderful website that makes it very easy to use. So I went on and basically entered the price. It shows that you basically save about $3,300 a year. So you're return on investment for that cost breaks out. If it's a $10,000 difference, that's about 3 or 4 years that you recoup that cost. These costs currently do not represent the addition of what would be a charger. The chargers currently through SMUD, I'm not sure about commercial, residential, you can get them pretty cheap. The full cost of a stage 2 type charger for a vehicle at full price is around $1,000. So if you tacked that on, you would be able to typically replace or have your return on investment, you know, within 4 or 5 years of the vehicle's life. And so that's kind of what has been displayed here, and that's per vehicle. And what we were looking at really was used vehicles, and that cost difference between a used electric versus a used gas drops closer into like the $10,000 to $15,000 range. So you're looking at a return on investment in 3 to 5 years.
Does it make any difference by the way we drive? I mean, self-contained within the district, whether that would be completely EV or a hybrid vehicle? Does it make any difference?
I don't think that it necessarily makes any difference because we're not doing any long driving. I think if you were looking at like the use of a vehicle, you know, to send staff to training or something that was farther away, like a conference, then possibly you would see issues there where you're looking at maybe 300 or 400 miles of driving. Then of course you would have to stop and charge on time. But currently, no, it shouldn't really have an impact inside the district itself for day-to-day use. I think the average vehicle use inside the district is less than 10,000 miles per year. So a lot of the vehicles.
Yeah, that's why I asked.
Yeah.
So does it matter? Is there anything to this point as far as battery replacement or anything that makes any difference? I mean, I don't know whether we've ever established a policy, but we've run vehicles here into the ground. I mean,
I think
15 years. So in view of battery life, what does that mean?
Right. So I think the current replacement cycle of vehicles is basically, like you said, run to failure, which is about 15 years. I think what I projected as a replacement, I won't say policy, but program, was that they get replaced every 10 years as a cycle, and that $50,000, 25 coming from each department, water and sewer, would replace a vehicle every 10 years if needed. And the batteries are supposed to last to about 100 to 125,000 miles. You start to see a reduction in the capacity to store, I believe, year to year. And basically, the cost of replacement of those batteries would be about the same to just replace the whole vehicle, is my understanding. Most people don't pay to replace the batteries. There is a higher risk during an accident, because if there is an accident and you damage the battery, it's basically totaled. Mm-hmm. So there is some higher risk when driving them.
Okay. So what do we do from this point? What is it you want us to do?
I believe it would be really a board decision, and if we could determine which type of vehicle, whether it be gas or EV, the money is already in the capital improvement, and that gives us the idea of what we would like to purchase. We could still, come July, bring it back to improvements with two vehicle options, and then select from there. Basically, I was looking at the district as purchasing a used, lightly used vehicle somewhere in like the 8,000 to 15,000 mile range. And I could, you know, we could look at that time and then bring both forward and make a decision from that based on that. But that's basically going to be the board's decision on which way they move. The policy to be completely EV, or the law, is 2035 that we should be completely EV. And there's some ongoing discussions and possible changes to that bill based off size of entities and agencies, because there's a hard time procuring that many EVs currently, and especially in the truck duty range, where usually a lot of people, you're not going to get like a 2500, 3500, like a heavy duty vehicle. Basically, most of what you can get is, you know, the 1500 type series or a Ford of that same capacity. And so that's where some of the concern about meeting that 2035 has come. Most of our vehicles fall within that range, other than the diesel mechanics vehicle. And so it's really going to come down to a board decision. But I think what we do is revisit it at the July improvements with some vehicle options and go from there.
Okay. Randy?
So most of our trucks are 1500 range. Who makes it from what we need 1500?
So Chevy has a Chevy Silverado. I'm not sure if they actually changed the name, but it is an EV, and it's the 1500. Ford also makes what's called the Ford Lightning. And so I believe Dodge is coming out with one as well. Those are the main manufacturers of electric vehicles that I know of in a truck series. I don't know of others really that are in that work type cycle. I believe the three big are the ones that are doing it. Toyota is a hybrid only model. They do not feel that electric is the way of the future currently, and so they really don't build many trucks in kind of the foreign model series, if you will. And security currently, that's what their vehicles are. Sometimes there is a policy to buy American made. That really comes again to a board decision, but there are options inside of it. Typically, I usually fall on the side of recommending Chevy. They just seem to have a little bit better life and longevity. But Ford and Chevy, I think, kind of match up interchangeably, and what we do is look at price and what fits the district needs. Then we would have to take into account for the utility boxes that get added onto it. So there is a cost to that as well, because we would move the utility boxes from one vehicle to the other. What would fit, what doesn't fit, has to be purchased and added on. So that staff keeps their current ability for tools.
Okay.
Where would you put the charger?
This has kind of been an item of discussion, and honestly, my preference would be to put them behind the gates where staff normally parks, and because that's a protection to the vehicle. I believe putting them out here in the public right-of-way poses a risk not just to the charger, but also the vehicles then are out here on site. I do know that there's currently already a charging station that's going in at Bel Air, if you will, that Bel Air Shopping Center, the Marietta Gardens area, to do basically a charging that then includes a revenue type stream. And I think this way, if you're looking at adding them on one or two at a time, and a lot of them now are dual, so you can actually dual charge from one unit itself, you'd be able to add in, you know, five of those or six of those and cover all of the district's vehicles for that staff. And then the vehicles stay where they currently are. They're protected behind the gates, which keeps it away from vandalism or any damage. But that also falls again into the board's purvey and not necessarily mine. That's just where I would recommend. I've heard other conversations about putting them out here in the front so that they could try to generate revenue with residents using them as well. And I think that's an option. If we would have like pool vehicles that were electric as well, then we could have some out here in the front. I think the best way to do it, or one of the ways a lot of people are doing it, is the board sets a policy that no personal vehicles are used on the chargers, just because then it's could be seen as a misuse of public funds.
So you going to bring it back then next month?
Yeah, I'll bring it back. I did look at the chargers just for not commercial, but for residential. That's kind of how I know. So I'll do some research with the commercial and see what it is to have a basically the dual-sided chargers, what those would cost as well with the vehicle costs. And we'll project, you know, a couple vehicles and look at the prices and put that to the committee, and then, you know, hopefully move forward and take action at the board. Okay. But yeah.
But Eric, we're going to be saving on our gas.
That's correct. So this isn't, so using SMUD, this is an average estimate for the area. It isn't, and when we get gas, the gas price will drop from about $5 and we'll say 30 cents on average at the local station versus what we would get out of the tank that we own or rent, and that would be closer to $3.60 to $3.90 a gallon. It fluctuates with the market, and that's the projection. So the cost savings on gas currently for this next year, if we stay all gas, is around $50,000, is what the district would save. We're still working on that. We have some paperwork that we need to file with Ramos, and then also we're trying to get an area clear to put this down where there's a pad. And a cement pad for the tank to sit on and bollards around it so that it's protected, but we're still working on that.
Okay. So then the savings in energy would only be about two-thirds of that $3,300.
That could be correct, yeah. I don't know. They don't really show the projection of gas costs to you. So I know over in Sacramento, the average gas price, I'm guessing, is about $4.50 a gallon. So, yeah, there would be $1 a gallon difference.
Okay.
A little bit. Okay.
All done?
That's it. That's all I have. We're open for comments and questions or public comment also.
Randy, anything else?
Just back to the master plan questions. is your report going to cover the questions that I asked?
Yes. So most of the questions that were asked by you, Director Janko, were asked by the group as well. They were almost identical. So yes, it would answer the questions that you asked.
Great. Thank you.
Randy, anything else?
Nope. I have a question.
You got something, Tony?
On WSC, did they give you an estimated time of completion?
They have not given an estimated time of completion. I think a lot of it, to be honest, Tony, hinges on me as well. I don't see it taking very long. A lot of what we're asking, potentially asking or looking at to be changed, does not require a lot of work. It requires much more removal than anything else, and doesn't really change a lot of the calculations that are in there. There will be most likely sections that are removed, and part of it is because they don't pertain and they don't go to the issues that are at hand. And we'll be able to present that, but I'm guessing that it would be within the year, would be their completion on that portion. The feasibility with it running concurrently, that really is kind of an unknown, because they're going to look at the whole area versus our GIS system, and also then, you know, potentially where water, drinking water quality can be found, and so that may take a little bit longer. But I haven't had a lot of conversation since the person leading that charge has been on vacation for a while.
How about insurance on the electric?
That is correct. I think if you're buying privately, that may be the case. Buying it, so we're a part of a pool with GSRMA. I didn't run the question to them if that really changes it much, and that's because a lot of times I don't think it changes it a whole lot because of the way they purchase in a large section. The upkeep, of course, does cost more. You do go through tires faster. They are a higher tire charge because they're a specialized for electric vehicle, I think, only basically type tire. So yes, there's some additional costs in that portion. So it really comes down to basically a board decision, because I think most of those small costs aren't going to be super reflective.
Anything else, gentlemen? Okay, with that, I think this breaks a record. Okay. We're adjourned.
Thank you at 8:22.